turn to your word now, Father God. We pray that you would open our ears and our eyes afresh this evening to the truths contained within it. For scripture that we may have read many times before, we pray that you would remind us of truths of old and that you would encourage us of truths that we have just found tonight. Lord, we pray that you would encourage our hearts as we continue to live for you and serve you in this world. So open your word to us this evening, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I always say if. I don't know why I say if, because you ought to have your Bibles with you in church Sunday by Sunday. If we don't carry the sword with us, what good is it to us in the battle of the week? So that be your encouragement, your rebuke this evening, if you don't have it with you, to carry your Bible with you. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14, and let's read verses 6 through 15 this evening. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war." Amen. This is God's word for us this evening. D.L. Moody was saved at the age of 19. Moody heard an evangelist by the name of Henry Varley say, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with and for a man wholly committed to God." Moody said, "By God's grace, I will be that man." He was an uncultured, uneducated, untrained shoe salesman, but God used him to move two continents for Christ. Why? Because Moody dared to live for God's best. He was committed to God, and he had the confidence that God could use him if he but lived his life with courage before God. As we turn back to the book of Joshua, we come across a man who has lived and is living for God's best. He spent his life doing that, and now, aged 85 years young. Notice, I'll change that a little bit. I always love it when you read it there. It says 85 years old. 85 years young. Caleb still wants God's best. Nothing is going to stop him from that. He is still wholeheartedly following the Lord. Last week, we considered the children of Israel possessing the promised land. We considered how the Lord gave them the land, how he gave them victory, how he gave them rest, while all the time keeping his promises. Chapters 13 through 21 that we looked at as a whole described the allocation of land for the different tribes. In the midst of those chapters, we find these verses focusing on one man, Caleb. And so tonight we want to think on Caleb living for God's best. I didn't want to skip over him because this is an important bit for us and some important points to encourage our hearts this evening. Caleb was a part of Israel when they left Egypt. He was there when God divided the waters of the Red Sea. As a matter of fact, he was one of the 12 spies who had gone to survey the land. More than that, he and Joshua were the only two who believed God and recommended that they press forward. But as a whole, Israel, remember, chose not to believe God. And as a result, they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Here's a great picture of the Christian life. God saves us and promises that we can have a life of victory and spiritual joy. But rather than claim what is rightfully ours, what do? We choose to live in the spiritual wilderness. We choose to live defeated lives. Instead of choosing the things which are rightfully ours, peace, joy, fellowship, power, and the glory of God. Caleb is 85 years old, but he hasn't forgotten the promises that God made to him. Caleb pictures the Christian who is willing to pay the price, willing to fight the battle, willing to win the victory that God has waiting for him. One word describes Caleb: wholehearted. He's still living for God's best. And there is the encouragement tonight for us to be doing exactly the same, to be living for God's best. A quick word though in passing on Caleb's background. We read in verse 6 that Caleb is the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were sons of Esau, and they were related to the Edomites, long-standing enemies of Israel. Throughout most of the history of the relationship, the Edomites carried out border wars and skirmishes against the Israelites. Caleb was born outside of the covenant people of God. He was not a Jew. It struck me as I thought on that this week that a number of Gentile converts in the Old Testament were there. People like Rahab, the Amorite, Ruth, the Moabites, and Caleb, the Kenizzite. These three at least, they were people who were taken into the kingly tribe, the tribe of Judah, the Lord's line. I was reminded of the statement in the book of Hebrews that he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. These people came right into the middle of the community. They may have looked different. They may have dressed differently. They may have come from a different culture. But as far as God's people were concerned, they belonged. And what a great picture for us of God's family today still. He calls people from all peoples, from all tribes, from all tongues, from all kinds of backgrounds, cultured and uncultured. He calls us to himself. And as you look around, a pretty motley and different bunch we are indeed. But here in chapter 14, we find that the tribe of Judah come before Joshua to find out about their allocation of land. And as they do so, Caleb stands out from among them and he speaks to Joshua. And as he does this, we see firstly Caleb's commitment. He reminds Joshua of what the Lord said to Moses about the pair of them back at Kadesh Barnea. You will remember the events of Numbers 13 and 14, and if you don't, then you need to pick up your Bibles and read them tonight when you go home. One of the leaders from each tribe was sent out to spy in the land of Canaan. 10 of them came back saying that it was too hard and they'd be crushed by the inhabitants of the land, while only 2 said, "We can take it. With God on our side, all things are possible." Remember the children's chorus? I'm sure you do. 10 men went to spy in Canaan. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad. 2 were good. Something like that with your fingers. I can never get them right. And then the Lord came to Moses in the midst of it and he said, "None of those who feared and did not trust the Lord would see Canaan, except for Joshua and Caleb." They were the only 2 of that generation who were going to cross into the promised land. And look at what God says to Caleb in Numbers 14 and 24.
He says, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Caleb follows me wholeheartedly. There is Caleb's commitment. He follows God completely, 100%. Caleb's focus is completely on following God. Wherever God leads, Caleb follows. What God says, Caleb does. And what a great lesson for you and for me about our commitment. Six times in the Old Testament, we read that Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. Three of them are here in these few verses we read in Joshua 14. Look at verse 8 there. "I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Then verse 9, "You have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." And then down to verse 14, "Caleb, son of Jephunneh, followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly." What a man. What a commitment. And that phrase, wholehearted, means to close the gap. It's a phrase that was used of hunters as they were closing the gap between themselves and their prey so they could catch it. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the distance between him and God to an absolute minimum. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fibre of Caleb belonged to God. Now you may think that because you're not a preacher, or because you're not a deacon, or because you're not the explorer's leader, or whatever it happens to be, that God doesn't expect to have all of you. Wrong, wrong, and wrong again. God wants all of us. In fact, God deserves our all. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Every last bit for us. If you're holding back even a little bit, then you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Three little girls were talking about their dads. One said, "My father is a doctor and he practices medicine." Another said, "My dad's an attorney and he practices law." And the third looked at them and said, "Well, my father's a Christian, but he doesn't practice anymore." How sad. And yet there are a lot of Christians in our churches today like that. We need to grab the commitment of Caleb. We need to follow God wholeheartedly. What convinced Caleb to follow God wholeheartedly? What kept Caleb's commitment to God so strong and sure? Well, Caleb trusted in the promises of God. And we'll think about that in a moment. He trusted in the word of God. He knew that what God says, he does. What promises God makes, he keeps. And he reminds Joshua of that here in verse 9. "So on that day," he said, "Moses swore to me, 'The land in which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" For 40 years now, Caleb has wandered through the wilderness and he has cherished that promise. Through the years of battles, he has clung to that promise. Through everything that he has experienced, he has not forgotten God's promise. And now he's ready to claim it. He's remained committed to following God wherever and whenever. The encouragement and challenge for you and for me is to do likewise. We need to give ourselves totally to God, to be wholehearted in our commitment, to trust in the promises of God, and then he will see us through. We cannot be half-hearted. We have to trust completely and commit completely. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed by the tow truck to be repaired. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver came out and he said to him, "Whew, I didn't think we were going to make it up that big hill." And the man replied, "Neither did I. That's why I kept my foot on the brake, so that we wouldn't roll backwards." And if you don't know what that means, ask somebody afterwards. To live without total dedication to Jesus Christ is the same as trying to go forwards while holding back at the same time. It cannot be done. Let's have that wholehearted commitment that Caleb had. Caleb's commitment. We also see Caleb's confidence here in Joshua 14. Look at verses 11 and 12. I am still as strong today, he said, as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. We need to remember this man is no spring chicken. He's now 85 years old. And yet he's able to look back to that bit of land that he wants. He sees people living there. And he has the confidence that God would help him take that land. Caleb's ready for that one final battle to possess and to claim his inheritance. Now we need to put this into context. For Caleb here, we need to remember who the Anakites are. They lived in a hill country called Hebron. Caleb wants that land now for his inheritance. As you go back to Numbers and Numbers 13, those chapters I talked about earlier, we discover that these people are powerful and that their cities are fortified and large. Indeed, Numbers 13:33 says, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. In other words, they're giants. Caleb would have to be a giant killer to take the land he wanted as an inheritance. And yet Caleb trusted in the promises of God. Deuteronomy 1:34, when the Lord heard what he said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except who? Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it and I will give it to him, and his descendants will set their feet on it, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb knew that this land was his. Didn't matter who was in it, what size they were, how strong they were, how scary they happened to look. Caleb trusted God. God had promised him this land, and he had the confidence that he would take it and it would be his. Caleb seen the promised land, and for 45 years that vision is burned in his heart as he wandered right through the wilderness. While others complained, Caleb looked for a mountain where milk and honey flowed and where the grapes of Eshol grew. He was able to see beyond his circumstances into the promises of the Lord. Oh, that we would be people like that today. People of confidence. People of faith. Now, faith is not positive thinking. It's not optimism. It's not looking on the bright side. According to Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is more than saying that we believe, it's acting on that belief. Faith is simply taking God at his word and acting upon it. Faith is never a blind leap, but a deep settled conviction that God will do as he has promised to do. Caleb had faith in God. And we see his confidence come shining through. Give me the land, he says to Joshua. Even though there are people in it, God helping me, what am I going to do? I'm going to drive them out. Caleb's commitment that led to Caleb's confidence, which now leads on to something of Caleb's courage. Caleb not only needed courage to claim the land and defeat the enemy, he had to overcome a couple of obstacles as well. In total, I think there are three obstacles he needs to overcome here. And the first might surprise you. The first was his own people. Remember back to Numbers 13. The 10 spies who were fearful, who said, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. They were defeated before they had even started. They looked around and said, it cannot be done. They doubted and they feared. And sometimes the biggest obstacle that we face is the doubts of those around us. For Caleb to claim what God had promised him, he had to go against the majority. There are always those around us who will be convinced that we cannot win the victory. To live for God will often mean that we will stand in the minority. Remember, only Joshua and Caleb trusted God, and they were the only ones then to enter and conquer the land and the power of God. We must overcome the grasshoppers that will try to convince us that we cannot live victoriously for God. Caleb was ready to overcome that obstacle once more. He's already done it by standing up with Joshua and saying, we can take the land, and now they're in it. They've won some major battles already. Jericho's walls came tumbling down. I was defeated. Indeed, 31 kings, we read, have fallen at the hands of the Israelites, with God leading the way. And now Caleb's got the courage to say, Hebron's mine as well. The Anakites will be defeated. Giants, no bother to God. Doubters, get out of my way. God is coming through all over again. The second obstacle is the actual giants themselves of the hill country. The Anakites, as we have thought already this evening, were big, they were strong, they were powerful people, they were giants. But giants are simply a matter of perspective. Goliath was 9.5 feet tall, but a little shepherd boy says, give me my sling and a pebble and I'll take care of him. All of us have giants in our lives. Giants of discouragement, finances, sickness, family, distress, doubt. And the truth is, we can't defeat them all by ourselves. We've got two options. We can say, look how small we are compared to these giants. And that's the outlook of fear, by the way. Or we can look up and we can say, how small are those giants compared to my God? And that's the uplook of faith. Remember some of the great verses of the New Testament. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Caleb had confidence in the promises of God. He was committed to following him completely, and that gave him the courage to overcome the giants. And of course, Caleb here, not only has to overcome the doubters in his own midst, he doesn't just need to overcome the giants, he's got to overcome his age. He was 85 years old after all. He was 40 when he went to explore the land and reported back at Kadesh Barnea. He, the Lord, has kept him alive another 45 years so that he could enter and take his inheritance within the promised land. And he says there in verse 11, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. I might be old, he says, but I can still take this land. He had the courage to overcome his age. Little tennis illustration for us, since it's the French Open final today, and I caught a bit of it earlier on. Pete Sampras, many of you will remember Pete Sampras when he played tennis. Some people said towards the end of his career that he was too old to win a major championship again. Should he retire and leave the field to younger stars? Critics said he was finished. After 2 years and 33 tournaments without a title, it certainly looked that way to everyone, apart from Sampras himself. And he proved his point back in 2002 at the US Open, beating rival Andre Agassi in 4 sets. To win his 14th career Grand Slam championship, a record at the time, taking the tournament for the 5th time. He then became the oldest man to win in more than 30 years. Of course, we're talking about a man who was 31 years old at the time when he said he was too old. He'd have to go some to do it again at 85, just like our friend Caleb here. To get into Caleb's league, he needed to increase and continue. Caleb is ready for one last battle. He's ready to overcome his age. He's ready to overcome the giants. And he's ready to overcome the doubters in the midst. Caleb had great courage. And that courage, on the back of the confidence and that commitment, led to Caleb's conquest. According to verse 30, Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him the land that he wanted. And then we read that Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. There's that wholeheartedly all over again for us. What is Caleb? He's wholehearted. God gave him the victory. God gave him the land that he promised him. Caleb experienced what God promised. He climbed the mountains. He defeated the giants. He claimed his possession. And do you know the name of the place that Caleb inherited? It was Hebron. Do you know what Hebron means? Hebron means fellowship. Caleb refused to quit until he had obtained everything the Lord had for him. He refused to stop until he had obtained that place of fellowship with God. And friends, that ought to be our battle cry this evening. We ought to refuse to give up, to back up, to shut up or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up and filled up on everything that God has given his children, that God wants to give his children. Let me say that again just because I'm getting passionate with that one. We ought to refuse to give up, to back up, to shut up or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up on everything that God wants to give his children. We ought to settle for nothing less than that perfect place of fellowship with the Lord our God. Caleb kept going until he got that. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, he had already come. Where are we this evening? And our personal walk with the Lord. Have we entered into the victory? Or are we still wandering around in the wilderness, struggling day to day? God has a place of peace and power for us. But we must be willing to claim our possession. It will take the spirit of Caleb, a wholehearted spirit. He lived for God's best and he got there in the end. And yes, he went through many battles and struggles to get there. But he got there. There's a huge difference between a promise and a possession. God promised Israel the land, but they had to possess it before it became theirs. God has victory for his children. That is his promise. However, that promise must be pursued and possessed before it will ever become a reality in your life and mine. May we follow after God wholeheartedly as Caleb did. May we strive for God's best in our lives. May we live lives of commitment, of confidence, of courage, and of conquest. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these words of encouragement from the scriptures this evening. We thank you for this man, Caleb, who had the courage and conviction to stand up for what he believed and for in whom he believed. We thank you that you took him into the promised land. We thank you that he experienced much wandering in the wilderness. He experienced much in the battles of life. He struggled, but he fought through to the end. And we thank you for his commitment, for his confidence, for his courage, and for that conquest you gave him. Father God, would you help us to have that same commitment to you? Lord, may our epitaphs one day have that fitting word on inscribed there too for us, wholehearted. Lord, help us to follow you wholeheartedly with everything in our being, every fibre of our being. Father God, help us to be committed to you. Help us to have confidence in the promises of your word. And help us to take courage to go forth into battle in this land, in this world, in this day, and in this age, that we might claim our inheritance, that we might claim our fellowship with you forever and forever. So Lord, this week, remind us of these words in some of the dark and trying times that we face, and help us always to live for your best. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.